AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
It's our anniversary, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
And happy anniversary, Dr. Palmer.
It's an anniversary.
3 years, Dr. Palmer.
What are you talking about?
This is our anniversary show. And they said it wouldn't last.
What anniversary? What show?
What a tough guy.
You keep track of those. You're such a sentimental man.
Oh, 3 years. This is our third year. We lasted.
Trevor, can you cut that song and go right to number two and make it loud?
Tell me I may all.
I remember.
Oh, you remember.
I remember.
The anniversary.
Oh, will you dance with me? No, Anthony. Oh, my gosh.
You're so, I don't know what you are.
3 years, and I haven't gone stark raving mad yet. The anniversary walks. I lead, stupid. I mean, I'm not that type.
To our future years, to millions.
I'm so
sorry.
That's not the song I want. I think you're playing the wrong song.
That's the only one I got. What one did you want?
I wanted the tearjerker, the anniversary
this
wall.
This is pretty tearjerky. More jerky than tears.
Happy anniversary, listeners. Thank you for listening for 3 years. We love you. And we give
if
you
they've been listening
words.
For 3 years, I have a message of get a life. The anniversary wall. Anyone tuning in will wonder what's going on. It's the wrong song.
It's the wrong song, Palmer.
And I pay $5 for this.
Album version.
I had to buy the whole stupid album to get it.
Let this be.
Oh, excuse me. It's my anniversary present.
To our future years, to millions of smiles.
Meanwhile, we have two guests sitting here saying,
what's
did
going
we get
on?
Into?
And we have a great show lined up today. Listeners, don't let this discourage you. We have a great show going on. We got a dynamo here. Why don't you introduce it?
All right, I will. If I can get this
ribbon
shut off.
He forgot. See, 3 years he became an old man. He forgot. He's got your name.
3 years. Well, first of all, we have Tina Marie Alexia.
Yeah, right.
And Tina has been with us before.
Yes.
And she's very active in the Legion of Mary, Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, prayer groups, ministry to people who are in the hospital, and so many other ways that she expresses her love of Jesus in her to everyone who comes across her path. And unfortunately for this poor man, she dragged Rob Costanzo to this radio program. And Rob is a president.
President, I shook his president. Hand. I never shook a president's hand before.
Of a Legion of Mary
I'll
group.
Give you my autograph later.
in Riverhead, and he started a new one in Mount Carmel, Lady of Mount Carmel and Patrick. Hey, don't I read my notes
you
well?
Read very well, and I have to tell you something, not to ad-lib, but the Legion of Mary is an oncoming organization.
It's only been around for how many years?
I know, but they are becoming so alive, so vibrant. Everywhere I go, I'm hearing the Legions of Mary. I'm seeing the people from the Legions of Mary popping up. I'm telling you, it's going to be a factor.
Maybe our listeners don't know what the Legion of Mary is and what it does. So we're going to ask our two guests to share, trying to describe this. And just for you to be aware, it's nothing new. My brother, was in the Legion of Mary, yes. 40 years ago.
No, this is 100 years old, I think, the Legion of Mary. This has been going on for years and years. But during the years, they've been, you know, they've been quiet. They've been at the first Saturday. I think that's the first Saturdays they have their prayers and meetings and stuff like that.
Why don't you let them tell it?
Tell us. No? Okay.
Move in.
So that's
how
little
close.
I know. Tell us more about it.
All right. Thank you. The Legion of Mary was founded in 1921.
Yes.
In the late 1920s, I believe. It came to the United States of America. The first group was entirely women. However, the first group in America was entirely men. And we're really 50-50. I don't know the exact stats on that, but we're both male and female organization. And there are a lot of ways to describe it, but my favorite way to think about the Legion of Mary is that we are the true devotion in action. Those of us who are familiar with the 33-day consecration to Jesus through Mary,
yes,
the Montfort Missionary way of life, the Legion of Mary is a beautiful way to go out and express your love and live the apostolate. It's a way of life and a vocation.
And you're not just prayer people.
No.
You're action
oriented.
You're
action out there.
Both.
Yeah,
they're equal importance. Yeah. Prayer and action.
Yes.
Which the new evangelization calls us to.
To be. Rob, what do you think of that description? Did she do all right? Mr. President, what would you say?
They almost fell off the chair when I gave my description.
It was nah, it was a very accurate description. The Legion is formed in by our founder, and he was Frank Duff, thank you, and he was dedicated to St. Louis de Montfort, and the Montfortian way of following the Blessed Virgin through to Jesus through Mary, and that's what the Legion is based on. And when we have the meetings, the individual meetings, we say some Legion prayers and do the rosary and some other things that we discuss, but then we go out into the community and do our service mm-hmm. to our brothers and sisters like Christians. Mm-hmm. And that is really, you know, primary in the Legion work.
If somebody says, hey, you know, that sounds interesting. What do they commit themselves to? You two people unfortunately committed yourself to be here 1 hour with us on the radio. But what do they have to commit themselves to?
Well, there's so many ways to answer that question.
That's why
not,
I asked
we're not
it.
Simply a prayer group. Sometimes okay. people come into a meeting and they're looking for something on the lines of a Bible study or, you know, something to help them with their sanctification, which you'll certainly get. But there is more required in that. We have what we call a handbook, the Legion Handbook, and it's our guide. It's our rules are written there. And some people are not comfortable with having to live by the rule. And just as religious orders have rules, we have rules.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours of active Legion work weekly is one
Weekly, 2 hours
yeah.
weekly.
A minimum of 2 hours of service. And our Legion work, our service is in particular our spiritual works of mercy, primarily visiting visiting people in pairs, ideally in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now you mentioned something.
I did, yes, and this is something that people don't really know about. I always used to look at the Legion of Mary as, I think it's the first Saturday when they have
the weekly
on Saturday.
Required.
And so I always
What did you say about a weekly meeting?
1.5 hour meeting weekly is required of every presidium.
Yeah, and then I think the first Saturday they had a mass in honor of the Blessed Mother, I think Legion Mary, as I remember it. That's how I remember Legion Mary. But I found out that you people are out on the streets.
Right.
You're actually out in the community.
Right.
Tell us a little something about that. I don't think people actually know that the Legion of Mary is out walking on the streets.
And what would some of the things be that you do?
Well, besides knocking on doors.
Well, knocking on doors, that was the way that the Legion started, door-to-door evangelization,
mm-hmm.
Door-to-door visitation.
That's a very interesting fact.
Now, here's the thing. In today's climate, now 40, 50 years ago in America when the Legion was doing great, I mean, it was amazing to read some of the history from Father Roger Charest, God rest his soul, when he was involved with the Legion, and St. Jude's, I believe, in Mastic had three or four presidiums going on at the same time.
Presidium is a small group.
Yes, yeah. Small group. Now, back then, it was a different climate. It was a different era. Priests were respected. People of faith were respected. Now, you see people walking up to your door, knocking. You're looking for a lawsuit. It's tough. Very few pastors give permission. Now, you need permission from your pastor to go out and do door-to-door evangelization because it's a dangerous world now. It's very different, and very few pastors are allowing the Legion to do that.
But so we got to go after them because it's the new evangelization.
Right. One of the most popular ways is a hospital visitation. My Legion work primarily is hospice visitation. I have the privilege of bringing the Eucharist every Friday into the inpatient center of the St. Charles Hospice Center. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not permitted to do that with a partner. Ideally, as I mentioned, Legion work is done in pairs. Now, given the climate today in our society, sometimes we have to go out alone. Ideally, you go with a partner and it's assigned. Mm-hmm. However, what I do is, I can't wear any Legion of Mary badges or whatnot. You know what I mean?
But you go as a Eucharistic minister.
I go as
I do.
Minister,
I go once a month to the hospice. Yes.
But I bring the Spirit of Mary. I think of it as we are the mystical body of Mary. I bring the presence of Mary as I carry the Eucharist to these souls and the caregivers. Very important to remember the people that are visiting those that are sick and dying, that they need spiritual guidance as well.
Many times it's the caretaker who dies. And the person lives. That happens a lot because they do so much.
Yeah.
I'm just leaving. I don't mean to put.
Our mission is very Pentecostal. The Legion mission most primarily is sanctification, our own sanctification, and the sanctification of those we visit. And the mission is Pentecostal. So, like you said, we're out there on the streets.
You're on the streets, yeah, but I don't think people knew that, to be honest with you. I don't think they realize that you guys are really out there.
Can I tell a story?
Okay, go ahead.
This is about a Jehovah's Witness who did what you people do, came knocking on the door. This one guy did it for 30 days straight. Mm-hmm. So he finally looked him in the eye and said, all right, come on in and sit down. They came in and they sat down. And he said, what do you want to tell me? The guy said, I don't know. Nobody's ever invited us in.
Oh my gosh.
I like that one, Dr. Palmer. That was good. By the way, if you don't know, listeners, that was Dr. John Palmer.
Yeah.
And I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
We most certainly do.
Jesus. And we all... Tony and I have gone through the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Very good.
Wonderful.
And the 33 days of prayer.
See all the notes? All the notes.
Go through Mary to Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a powerful, powerful book. And as long as I'm mentioning that book, we are going to have a big day in June, Tony. A big day in June, June 21st.
That's my birthday.
And you know,
really,
Legion of Mary is one ministry that's operational in our diocese. We have over 50 different kinds of ministries, prayer groups, etc. And on the 21st of June, we're going to try and bring together as many of those different ministries to do a day of prayer for unity in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, by dedication to true presence in the Eucharist.
Oh, I love it.
That's the whole theme of the day. And we have Father Hugh Gillespie. He said yes. I'm putting it out there publicly. We have Father Vincent Ritchie, a Jesuit. We have a Montfort father, a Jesuit father. We start off the day with a deacon. We have a pastor after lunch, and we have a lay minister. The pastor after lunch is Father Tony Staganelli. He's going to talk on devotion to the Spirit. Father Richie's going to talk on devotion to Scripture. And Paul Miller is going to talk on devotion to Divine Mercy. And we'll do the Divine Mercy at 3, and we hope to have a bishop for Mass. It's going to be a big day. We need 1,200 people to show up. That's how many the place holds. And with all these different groups, we should be able to get them. And we're having a kickoff meeting. Lord, I'm doing it.
Yes, you might as well go all the way. Do, as long as you're doing a free commercial.
January 18th. which is just a couple of weeks from now, mm-hmm. at St. William the Abbot Church in Seaford on Jackson Avenue, right off Sunrise Highway, from 2 p.m. until 5. We're having what I call a DD kickoff meeting. You know what the DD kickoff? Dunkin' Donuts kickoff meeting.
There you go.
Because I've changed my ministry. I used to do Our Lady of Entenmann's. Now I do Dunkin' Donut ministry.
St. Dunkin' Donuts.
St.
Dunkin' Donuts.
But the idea is to get as many different representatives from different kinds of ministries there to talk a little bit about what their ministry is like and what their devotion is like.
So what we're looking to do is to have all the prayer ministries attend this kickoff meeting.
As many as they can. We're trying to get volunteers because we need people to sell tickets and to spread the word.
Okay.
And
okay.
The tickets are $50, but that includes breakfast and lunch. And
that's
also
very reasonable. Do I have to pay?
Yes, and it saves my my hide too financially, because the day is going to cost us around $25,000.
Yeah. So, but tell them who's going to be the MCs.
The master of ceremony is going to be me.
No!
It's got to be Dr. Tony and myself. And if you want to see how old and decrepit we are, it's worth the
money.
Come on
down!
You're
going to have a ball.
And the way to get information is just to write me jpalmer@drvc.org. DRVC. That's the Diocese of Rockville Center. And we're running this out of the Office of New Evangelization. And you are one of the first prayer group or ministries that we're bringing on the radio to start talking about the different ways we Catholics are evangelizing in our diocese.
Excellent.
Great.
You will
great.
Have our support. At our next
Wonderful.
Committee meeting, we'll do our best to spread the word throughout the entire
great.
Diocese for the
Legion of
Mary to have a good showing.
Okay,
good.
I'll email you stuff,
Thank
and
you.
I'll hold you to that. You know that.
That was a great commercial. That was worth about $100.
I love that you used the word unity. Your goal is unity.
Unity.
And speaking of that, I'm also a president of sorts. I'm vice president of my Presidium at Infant Jesus in Port Chef, but I'm also acting president of a new Presidium that we've founded at the Montfort Spiritual Center with Father Hugh Gillespie. He is our spiritual director.
You can't keep up
and
with her. She's a dynamo. You can't keep up.
You triggered my thought on this, because the goal of our Presidium, this new Presidium with Father Hugh as our spiritual director, is unity. Unity for the Legion of Mary in our diocese. We have many plans and possibilities. For instance, a website, a newsletter, and certainly hosting many events at the Montfort Spiritual Center in Bayshore. One coming up shortly is going to be on March 22nd. The whole week, actually, there's 5 days of events going on. Saturday, March 22nd, Father Hugh is going to have a day of recollection. And soon I'm going to have more information about that. We have a meeting scheduled this week, so I don't have a lot of details on it, but it's going to be amazing. Last year when I was on, if you remember, a year ago this week, I was on the show, and I was promoting what we called Mary and the Year of Faith.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? Mm. It was extraordinary. We had over 200 people that came.
Oh, I remember
it
that.
It was a dynamic
yes.
yep. day. So that's what we're doing. We're doing it again. It falls during Lent this year. So there will be a bit of a Lenten theme, you know, going on. But anyway, that's our goal as well, to tie in. Unity is so important. We have to come together and unite and communicate with one another.
And that's one of the ways in my prayer life that I've been brought to put this day together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told in prayer, you want to talk about unity across religions.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can do that, you got to get unity in your own religion.
Amen.
And unity, yeah. People can have many different avenues mm-hmm. to express their devotion to God,
mm-hmm.
to Jesus, to Mary. But they got to know that there's not just one way, and that all are united
Absolutely.
In the love that of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. See, so you
well,
walk
those
in.
Those are the pillars of the prayer group.
That's right.
They? They're what I would call the pillars.
And you know, as long as we're talking about just a few different kinds of groups, there's the Agnus Dei group, and their devotion is through Mary
and
Jesus. Spirit and Jesus. But they want people to journal. you know? Uh-huh. There are charismatic prayer groups. There are Marian. There's so many different variants. The Padre Pio groups.
A common denominator.
Padre Pio groups, you know what they do? They just bleed. You know?
He used to be a comedian years ago. He couldn't make a living.
Go ahead, Tina. I'm sorry.
The common denominator, as you're talking, which comes to mind, I have the book True Devotion in front of me, and I feel inspired to just read number one. It was through the Blessed Virgin Mary that Jesus came into the world, and it is also through her that he must reign the world. I mean, that unites all of our prayer groups and our mission.
Kevin O'Connell has the Fiat Rosary.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Marrying your faith last year.
Yeah, and so Kevin is dedicated to that. You surrender to Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to remember the Blessed Virgin was Jesus' mother, but she's our mother also.
Absolutely.
So when we turn to her, well, we're turning to the best.
And what always gets me about Mary, I know I'm talking a lot, but I'll shut up soon. But really, because we do have guests, Mary's blood is in Jesus.
And well,
that's why she's called the Eucharist. Yeah.
That's an amazing thing to ponder.
Yeah.
Mary's part in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus present in you.
That's why she's called mediatrix.
Jesus to Mary. Mary to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the way it really works? Isn't that what we're all about?
Exactly.
So, Rob, tell us a little bit about you and some of the things that you've done.
And
Tony has his famous question I know he's going to ask.
I have it for both of them, to be honest with you.
That's fine.
And I'll let one answer at a time after Rob.
Well, one thing I'd like to bring to light is that, you know, part of our group, the Legion of Mary, part of our mission is to evangelize, okay? So as Tina Marie was pointing out, it's tough to do the door-to-door now. So we do have a fantastic program called the Virgin Pilgrim Statue Visitation.
Oh, Pilgrim Virgin Statue Visitation Program.
And what you do is, someone takes the statue, you go to their home, and you set up the statue on a nice table with candles and everything.
Flowers.
Yeah.
It is always Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of the Rosary, the statue that's used. Is that
not? Yes, it is. Okay. And you say, like, opening prayers, and you do a rosary. And the thing is, the people keep the statue at their home for 1 week. Mm-hmm. And they say the prayers, and they pray the rosary in front of the statue for that week. And when you're at the people's homes, you know, it's so, like, exciting. It's, like, enlightening. Everyone's, like, excited about it being there. And some people don't realize, like, why they were there. And the next thing you know, they want the statue at their home. And that's what the statue is about. It goes from home to home, from week to week.
Yes.
Getting into the homes of people is so essential to the Legion work. And because that's where the conversations will take place. That's where you may discover that someone in the family, in the household, is not quite living in conformity with the Holy Mother Church. Perhaps a marriage needs to be validated. Perhaps a baby hasn't been baptized yet. Perhaps the children have fallen out of religious education. These conversations will come up in a non-threatening way, and legionaries who are always on duty are then given the opportunity to help bring souls back to Christ and deeper into the sacraments.
Absolutely. Now, this visitation, this is done on a parish level? Does every parish have this statue visitation?
Every parish could. Praise God, our parish in Infant Jesus, we just started the ministry less than a year ago.
Our parish has it, but if there's someone inclined at a parish to start the visitation, what would they do? Call you guys? How would they get permission from the pastor and then call you guys? How does this work?
Well, call the Legion of Mary. That's the simplest, you know, as you suggested, because all legionaries are familiar with the Pilgrim Virgin Statue Home Visitation Program.
So who would they call?
Call me.
Okay, so would you mind giving me your phone number?
Well, not the phone number.
I have an email that's very easy
email?
To remember.
Fine.
MyLegionOfMary@yahoo.com.
Okay, that's you.
MyLegionOfMary@yahoo.com.
Okay.
Yes.
My Legion of Mary. I'm very slow. My Legion of Mary at
Yahoo.
Yahoo.com.
There you go.
Did you take enough time to write it down, Tony?
I got it.
Okay.
So if anyone is inclined to want to start a visitation. I know a lot of parishes have it, and there are a lot of parishes that don't. But there might be someone within the parish right. that would like to start it.
That's my issue. Yes, and you do need to go through an organization such as the Legion of Mary, because one of the factors involved in this day and age is Virtus training. Your pastor is not yes. going to allow you any time to carry to go running
abuse.
Around into private homes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the Virtus training, Father Hugh Gillespie is, what is the terminology? He's certified in teaching, instructing, you know. Virtus,
of the
yes,
version.
Yes, and yeah. we have a date scheduled.
Up, I'm a graduate.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
They also have it in
I don't think
parish.
Palmer is.
Yeah.
No, I taught it.
Oh, did you?
There you go.
See, he's always got to be a top.
No, I taught people how to abuse people.
Oh, okay. Oh, God.
I've been very good at that.
Do you remember the date for the training he's having in January?
We're having a small session ourselves for the Legion of Mary. Yeah.
Well, all parishes have it, don't they?
January 25th.
They all, once in a while, have it.
Yeah.
Well, it's open.
It's open, yeah.
If a parish has it, it's open for anyone to go to.
And if you really have a need, you can, email me at the diocese, jpalmer@drvc.org, and we'll put you in touch with the right people.
Okay.
Excellent.
Ask your question now. Come on.
Okay, so listen. So I know what you do. I know you're a dynamo. Rob, I know you're very involved. My question is, let's do you first.
Tina,
you weren't always involved. How did you get involved with all this stuff? Every time I turn around, there's something new going on with you. How? How did this all start?
I'm a convert.
RCIA?
No. I was stolen from the opposing team, kind of like Bill Belichick.
Okay, so let's go. This is interesting. I want to hear about this.
Anyone who's done the consecration is familiar with the spirit of the world versus the spirit of the gospel. Okay, you cannot serve both man and both God and mammon. You know, you'll hate one and love the other. Now, I, in retrospect, looking back, I was deeply rooted in the spirit of the world. I was into secularism. I was opposed to all organized religion. I was pro-choice. I was very sympathetic to the gay and feminist agenda.
You were a good catch, boy.
And boy, you know, and I had it all going on. You know, I was attractive. I had everything going for me. And then one day, I decided, I was reading C.S. Lewis. You know, I gave my testimony a year ago. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. But one day I picked up the rosary, literally. Someone had given me the story of Our Lady of Fatima and a set of rosary beads from Fatima. And I prayed it one day 6 years ago on November 30th, 2007. I never intended to keep praying it. But what happened was a radical conversion took place. And within a few months, I found myself registering at my local Catholic church, which I thought I would never do. And then on top of that, getting involved in ministry, you know, something I was so opposed to. The thing was, I thought that people who went to church were very weak-minded. I was very into New Age spirituality and relativism, like all you have to do is be a good person. No, now I can laugh at myself because I was so wrong. I was so wrong. And by the grace of God and Our Lady dragging me in with her lasso, with her Holy Rosary.
Ammunition.
Talk about a weapon, the most powerful weapon against Satan. And I didn't know what I was getting into. Don't get me wrong. When I said, you know, when I picked up the rosary the first day and prayed it, I had no idea what I was in for. No clue. And then about 6 months later, I walked into my first Legion of Mary meeting. And that, too, I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't fully understand the apostolate of what was happening. But within a year, I became involved with ministry, and now I'm a ministry leader in that. My pastor is giving me the honor and privilege of actually being in charge of Marian and Eucharistic devotions at our parish. You know, and and through the Legion of Mary, we bring forward many sorts of opportunities for graces for our parishioners, meaning celebrating most recently the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We coordinated a bilingual mass between the English and Spanish communities, bringing the children together, that reenacted a play, and we also made it a consecration mass. I led a group consecration program for the third time recently. in my parish, and a little at a time. Ideally, you do a parish consecration, but what I've been doing at Infant Jesus is group consecrations. I show Father Hugh Gillespie's video once a week, and I guide people through the 33-day process, and the most recent one culminated on the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm. And a 33-day process is really a process.
Amazing. And we're doing another one.
Are you?
Yeah.
I mean, I went through it. John went through it, and it is...
It's incredible.
I've done it twice, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. Well, each time it gets deeper.
Well, hopefully you'll join us with the reflections beginning in mid-February, culminating on the Feast of the Annunciation. Father Hugh, again, I keep dropping your name, Father Hugh, sorry. he's doing another...
That just gets him more and more committed to June 21st.
Oh, we can only pray. We're having a mass for the Feast of the Annunciation at the Montfort Spiritual Center. Father Hugh Gillespie is presiding, and we're going to have it be a consecration mass.
Good.
So I would encourage anyone who hasn't done the consecration yet, or if you've done it and you want to reconsecrate, do a renewal.
Okay.
Start the reflections in mid-February and come to us on March 25th at the Montfort Spiritual Center.
You got to give Rob a chance.
I am. Let me just frame you. Let me just frame Tina Marie.
They're gagging me.
To frame you, Tina Marie, you were far outside the church. You somehow said yes to the Blessed Mother. And by saying yes to Jesus and the Blessed Mother, you had to fasten your seatbelt. Because they're taking you for a great ride.
Yeah.
They really are. It's a nonstop. And I could see you're enjoying every minute of it.
Oh, yeah. The
I could see in your eyes and the way you talk about it. Yeah. Now, let's get to you, Rob. How did you start this?
See how he takes over now.
All right, let's see.
The sanity takes over.
Well, I love to...
go ahead.
Well, our listeners like to hear this stuff.
Well, we all have
they're out there. They're waiting to get... Yeah. They're waiting to get thrown into the mix.
Sure. Okay, Rob, go.
Go, Rob.
Well, right. It's excellent because I'm the other end of the spectrum. I'm a cradle Catholic. I've never left the faith. I've never missed Mass since I was a young boy.
Yeah, like us. Yeah, like me. Yeah.
Right. So to focus in on more how I got into the Legion, I was in, say, my early 20s, and I went to Mass every Sunday. And I used to stay after Mass and pray while everyone else is running out the door. And I noticed that there was only a couple other people praying, and they were elderly women, and they all had rosary beads in their hands. So I was just praying in general. So I was kind of contemplating out loud one day to the Lord and the Blessed Virgin, what's the rosary all about? And lo and behold, I came across The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort the next week. Well, I didn't really think that was a coincidence, so I read that in one day because I couldn't put it down. And after I read it, I started praying a rosary every day because it just made sense. And then through praying a rosary every day, I started to see, like, my spirituality growing deeper and deeper. And I was like, this is really amazing here. Like, the Lord was giving me the gifts and graces that I needed to grow spiritually in my faith. And I just... It never stops. I mean, you know how Tina Marie is so excited. It never stops. You just keep growing and learning and growing and learning. It's endless. You can never stop. You can never get bored with it. And then I started getting into various prayer groups. Some of them were Marian. And I always, what happened to me, how the rosary took over my life and the Blessed Virgin took over my life, I was always a champion of the rosary. I was teaching people how to pray it, giving them the Secret of the Rosary book and other booklets on how to pray the rosary. And I had been involved in some other prayer groups, and finally the Blessed Virgin really directed me to the Legion of Mary. And I started getting involved with different Legion of Mary groups, and I'm actually involved with like 5 different groups on different levels right now because through what happened to me, I see it happening in other people in the group, so that, you know, I'm a champion of the rosary, I'm an apostle of the rosary, and the Blessed Virgin just leads you and guides you. We're just little babies, and she's holding our hand, guiding
us. Absolutely.
You know, I maintain she's not holding our hand, she's holding our hearts.
Yeah, exactly.
And she leads us in love.
Yeah.
Well, what I always tell people is, look, I'm like a little 2-year-old baby, and the Blessed Virgin's got me by the hand.
Yeah.
And with little baby steps, she's just leading me to the Lord, and Absolutely. I can't ask for more than
you
that.
You know, I'm asked many times, why do you have the rosary wrapped around your hands?
Right.
And my answer is simple. This is my way of holding the Blessed Mother's hand.
Right.
And I know when I wrap the rosary around my hand in prayer groups and doing the show, I know Palmer has asked me several times, but this is my way of holding the Blessed Mother's hand so she can guide me and lead me in whatever has to be done.
But who is this St. Louis de Montfort that everybody talks about?
Oh, you know who it is. And you know what? I'm very nervous because I'm going to do a presentation of St. Louis de Montfort in front of people that know St. Louis de Montfort right. very well. So
and if you don't
me.
Get
I'm
it right, he's
going to
zap you.
But I think I found something that not too many people know about St. Louis de Montfort. And Dr. Palmer, if you listen and don't interrupt, you're going to learn something.
Oh, now, see, he tell me be quiet.
So
it's
St. Louis.
Not going to happen.
So St. Louis de Montfort's real name, according to my research, was St. Louis Marie Grignion de Montfort.
Grignion.
Yeah. De Montfort. Born on 1673 and died on April 28, 1716. He was a French Roman Catholic priest and a confessor. He was known in his time as a preacher and was made a missionary apostolate by Pope Clement XI. As well as preaching, Montfort found time to write a number of books, which went on to become classic Catholic titles and influenced several popes. Montfort is known for his particular devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the practice of consistently praying the rosary, as Rob you do, and as Tina you do, and I know you do also, John, and as I do. Montfort is considered as one of the early Marian proponents for the field of Mariology, and as it is known today, and a viable candidate to become a doctor of the church. There's only 33 doctors of the church, three of which I think are women. Mm-hmm. But he's a candidate. His most notable works regarding the Marian devotions are contained in The Secret of Mary and The True Devotion of Mary. His strong devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary inspired him to be prepared to risk his life for her. Centuries later, he influenced four popes about Mary: Pope Leo XIII, Pope Pius X, Pope Pius XII, and Pope John Paul II. And he's now being considered, again, as I said, as a doctor of the church. The Roman Catholic Church canonized Montfort on July 20th, 1947. And it took a while for him to become a saint, just like it takes a while for others to become a saint. But he was canonized by Pope Pius XII, who I remember. And so do you, Palmer. So let's look at the life of this saint who was devoted to the Blessed Mother, the Holy Rosary, and his renovation and his toured with the angels. Did anyone know that he had a great devotion towards the angels? Well, he did. And I don't think too many people did. He urged his conformers to show respect and tenderness to their guardian angels. He often ended his letters with a salutation to the guardian angel of the person to whom he was writing. "I salute your guardian angel," he wrote. He also saluted all the angels in the city of Natus, a custom that it appears he repeated when he entered any new village or any new city. Although he may not have been known for his devotion to angels, is that his pure spirits were so integral part of his training, and also his culture was so involved with the angels that he just took it as part of his life and just outwardly paid tribute to the guardian angels and to angels. His college teachers, the Jesuits, were known for the zeal and propagating devotion to the angels. In addition, the 17th and 18th centuries were tons of manual scripts about angels, which he read them all. 5 months after his ordination, he joined the Third Order of the Dominicans and asked permission not only to preach the rosary, but also to form rosary confraternities, to extend the rosary. Because he knew in his heart that the rosary was the most powerful weapon we could all have against the evil one. For several years, he preached in missions, and his reputation as a missionary grew. He became known as the Good Father from Montfort. He attracted hundreds of people, hundreds, to help him in the construction of Calvary. However, he soon learned that the King of France was forbidding his benedictions and was prohibiting him from holding any religious services. It is reported that in receiving this news, he told the thousands awaiting his blessings that we hope to build a Calvary here. Let us build it in our hearts. Blessed be God, because we are not being allowed to build it structurally. But if we build it in our hearts, it will last forever. He left for several years and was extraordinarily and consistently occupied in preaching missions, always traveling on foot between one and another. Yet he found time to write his true devotion to Mary, the secret of Mary and the secret of the rosary, rules for the company of Mary and the daughter of wisdom, and many hymns. He just kept writing and writing his true devotions. He became a Dominican. His mission made a great impact on all our lives. His style of preaching was regarded by some people as somewhat strange. And he was once poisoned. I don't know if anyone knows that. Although it did not prove fatal, it caused ill health. He was worn out by hard work and sickness, and finally came in April 1716 to begin the mission which was to be his last. Doing it, he felt ill, and he died on April 28th of that year. He was only 43 years old, but he accomplished so much. He did so much. He was so filled with the Holy Spirit. He only was a priest for 16 years. Only 16 years, and he's being considered as a doctor of the church. Louis de Montfort, often having riddled everything along the way, some years after his death, he wrote to the Blessed Marie-Louise Tarch and the First Order of His Wisdom. He said, "If we do not risk everything for God, we will never do anything great for Him." And I think that's what you guys are doing. You are risking everything for God.
Oh, thank you.
And that's the story of Louis de Montfort. There's more. There's much more. Much more. But we are limited by time.
But you know, what we're talking about is we want everybody here to be saints.
And what else is there?
We have a teacher. Listen to this minister.
Getting ready to beat out this mellow sermon for you. My text this evening.
Oh, I love this.
Go marching in. Here come Brother Hickenbottom down the aisle.
Oh, I can cry.
Do it, boy.
But we need a little life around here. You know,
I love it, Palmer. I love you.
You're
not as bad as I thought you were.
Go, Sanford.
It's the wrong one, but I like it.
I'm not going to say words. Not that word.
When the saints,
this is it. This is the one I like.
Now when the saints go marching in.
Go, 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 everybody. You're all saints. Saints in the making.
And that number, when the saints go marching in.
Yeehaw!
Do it, Brother Holmes.
We're not crazy listeners. We just love the saints, and we love Jesus.
And I love Satchmo. That's really the best part.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, yes, I want to be.
I just see Louis de Montfort marching in right now.
When the saints go marching in.
Oh, there's St. Francis.
It's
St. Ignatius. How you doing, buddy?
It's St. Margaret Mary.
St. Margaret Mary. They're all there.
St. Tony.
St. Antonio.
St. Antonio. St. Tina Marie. St. Rob. It's St. Trevor. It's St. Trevor.
And how about St. Leonard, who we spoke about last week?
That's right. They're all saints. I see St. Jeff.
Whoa, there's Joan of Arc.
Oh, well,
thank you. What
you
a great
know,
song.
I figured
thank
I'd
you.
Liven
I
it up a bit, you know, because we've been doing a lot of talk. So, you know, the music about saints is so important.
Yeah.
Because we are all invited to be saints.
Yes, and what else is there but to become a saint? That's what we're all trying to do, aren't we?
I love Ralph Martin's description. So many people are afraid to shoot for heaven and be saints. He said, but, you know, if you shoot for heaven and you miss, at least you have purgatory. But if you shoot for purgatory and you miss, what do you have?
Absolutely. Well, we got two saints in front of us right now. We got two aspiring saints in front of us.
Well, our founder, Frank Duff, from the Legion of Mary, said the Legion of Mary is the maker of saints.
Absolutely.
That's what we're all about.
Yeah,
that's right.
Our own sanctification and the sanctification of those we serve. Yeah.
Now, saints, let me ask you a question. You mind if I ask another question, Palmer?
No.
Okay.
This is Tony's show.
No, it's not. You know it's not. You know I'm very humble. You know I'm not like that.
Humble? Oh, okay.
What's for the future? What do you got? I know Palmer's, we got the big conference
January
going on.
18th.
And we got the conference in June. June 18th.
June 21st.
June 21st, right? What do you guys got going on?
Well, on my heart, what's really on my heart with the Legion of Mary and praise God with the assistance of Father Hugh Gillespie in this new presidium that we're founding. We meet on Wednesdays, by the way, at the Bayshore Center at 7 o'clock. If someone thinks they may be called to the Legion of Mary, seek out your local presidium, or certainly if you're in the Bayshore area, come to ours on a Wednesday evening at 7. Now, what's really on my heart in the future to work, excuse me, to work on is the consecration, living the consecration. Now, many of us who have made the consecration have this common bond, this common denominator, this question, how do you actually live it? And my way of pursuing this has been leading the group consecration. Praise God, I have the capability of doing that in my parish, being involved with the Legion of Mary, and I have permission to do it. Anyone can contact Montfort Publications. The phone number is 631-666-7500.
What's Whoa. That?
666-7500.
At 631?
Yes.
666-7500. That's the Montfort
yes.
Center in Bayshore.
Yes, that's where Montfort Publications is, and that is where you can get the book True Devotion and the consecration book written by Father Hugh Gillespie. Now, you may be thinking that maybe you did the consecration years ago. Oh, let me pull out that old consecration book and do it again. All due respect, we need to get Father Hugh's book. And
this
do
is
the
new book?
Yes.
Yes.
The reflections that Father Hugh Gillespie, spiritual son of St. Louis de Montfort himself, the reflection he has put together are out of this world. And we need to reconsecrate using these particular reflections. The book is only about $7. That's why I'm suggesting that you contact Montfort Publications and get this book. Now, as I mentioned, the next Mass that is on the calendar will be for the Feast of the Annunciation, March 25th. at Bayshore, where we will have a consecration mass. And if you'll join in, whether you do it privately or gather a few friends together and do a group consecration, you could also order from Montfort Publications the DVD, of talks that guide you through the week's the reflections from week to week. Also, what's on my heart is forming a group, hopefully with this new presidium, a group to study the works, the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. What better way to learn and study this consecration than to learn and study the writings of St. Louis de Montfort? They're inspired, you know. They're incredibly, and to come together in group formation, particularly under the guidance of the Montfort missionaries, you know, and study these works would be such a beautiful thing. And hopefully in 2014, we're going to get that going.
That's wonderful.
A series of classes studying the works of St. Louis de Montfort.
Now, John and I are graduates of this total consecration. We've took the course, and
right.
We've worked hard at it.
Congratulations.
We really did. You could see that we did a lot of work on
sure.
it. What in your ideas and what in your mind can others that do it hope to get out of it?
Well, the bottom line is that we want you to know, and from through the consecration, is it's exciting, it's exhilarating, okay? People think, oh, religion. No, it's not like that. It's thrilling, and it never gets boring, and there's always something new, and you just keep forging ahead.
It's an effort.
That's a grace of God when it's never boring, because if you have that thirst, that unquenchable thirst and hunger to know and serve our Lord and serve our Lady, that's a grace
exactly
from God.
Exactly what happened to me as I was doing it. I kept writing and writing and writing. Exactly.
I love how your book is marked up. Mine is marked up as well.
It means it's a good book.
It's a good, inspirational.
I feel inspired. I have to read something out of True Devotion. This is number 119 out of the True Devotion regarding the consecration. St. Louis de Montfort writes, "As this devotion essentially consists in a state of soul, it will not be understood in the same way by everyone. Some, the great majority, will stop short at the threshold and go no further. Others, not many, will take but one step into its interior. Who will take a second step? Who will take a third? Finally, who will remain in it permanently? Only the one to whom Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, reveals this secret. The Holy Spirit himself will lead this faithful soul from strength to strength, from grace to grace, from light to light, until at length he attains transformation into Jesus in the fullness of his age on earth and of his glory in heaven."
And you know, I'd
Amen.
Like to pray
Amen.
About
Amen.
That right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For our listeners.
Right? Yes.
And take that first step.
Yeah. Right, and to persevere.
Absolutely.
And persevere. That paragraph
so
talks about perseverance.
Let's call on Mary.
Go only one
let's
step.
Call on Mary. Mary, we need your help. We have 1.5 million Catholics in the Diocese of Rockville Center, and we only have 500,000. Who practice their religion. And some of that is only on once a month basis. That's the definition of a practicing Catholic. That's simply not good enough. And Mary, you said yes. We all say yes. And we ask you now, help our listeners to say yes. To say yes. And through the purity of your Immaculate Heart, draw them from that first yes into the yes to the presence of the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus within them, to guide them, to protect them from the evil ones who do their best to draw you away. We ask you now, bind and cast out any spirits surrounding any of our listeners that are not of your Son or of the Father or of the Spirit. And we ask you, please seal our listeners in the most precious blood of Jesus, our Messiah. And now, fill each of our listeners with your peace and with your love and with a desire to get to know you better and through you get to know your son, St. Louis de Montfort S, for people to agree to be a slave. To be a slave, that's hard. But even if we can just get them to say yes, that they're willing to explore, that's all we want right now. Right now. And if you guys have any prayer that you want to offer for our listeners, feel free to do it. It's about Mary.
Let me just thank Jesus for allowing us to be together, allowing Tina Marie and Rob to come to our show today. Thank Jesus for allowing us to do the show. We ask Jesus that you bless our audience, and you also show them that you are thankful that they are listening. But he also asked Jesus that you bless the petitions that we have. We have a bag of petitions. It's growing more and more, and some of them are sick. Some have cancer. Some are depressed. Some are out of work. Some are homeless. So we ask that you just bless those people that are petitions, and you let them know that you are truly, truly not only their best friend, but now you're their big brother.
And I'm hearing a voice inside of me that's saying, wake up, everybody. Wake up, listeners. Come to life. What's the matter with you? You're spending your day watching television. You're wasting your lives. You're wasting your time. You want something exciting. You want an adventure. Say yes. Say yes. That's all we ask.
And pray the rosary.
Yeah. Beautiful. Our listeners can't see it, but she has the most beautiful rosary I've ever seen in my whole life.
It's a weapon, I tell you.
It's a weapon, all right. It's gorgeous. Oh, my God.
We're producing rosaries that are made entirely out of ammunition.
Oh, my Lord.
Shotgun and pistol.
Oh! How?
The bullet itself is the prayer. These ammunition rosaries are about 4 or 5 feet long, and they look like weapons, but they're prayerful weapons.
Yes, right, exactly. There's the most powerful weapon you could ever have. I want one.
I'm producing them at absolutely no profit. It's a non-profit endeavor. They're $200 each. Very high quality, and all the proceeds are going to charity.
Great.
Particularly to the
put me down for one. Palm will pay.
And contact me at mylegionofmary@yahoo.com if anyone wants to order one.
Okay.
And we need Trevor so that he can put on the song to close out our wonderful day with Mary. And Trevor, number four. And we're closing out the show with
And thank you, listeners. We love you so. Thank you for listening. You're the best ever. Be a saint.
Dana and Ave Maria Immaculata.
And thank you, guys.
Yes,
you guys,
welcome.
We
Thanks
know, are going
to
be saints.
Thank you
God
so
bless
much.
You. God bless you.
Yeah.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile,